Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from James chapter 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This is the text. As we've begun our confirmation class for our youth once again, I'm always interested in reading their sermon notes. What did they hear? Because I know always what I want to say, but very often what I say isn't necessarily what is heard. And the point of the exercise, having them write sermon notes, is a way of teaching them to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. So what did they hear? Well, last week I emphasized that we are not perfect, but we are made complete in Christ. And I really emphasized, I am not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect husband or father or friend. So I read the sermon notes from last week, and my daughter Juliana's sermon notes really emphasize that part of the sermon. Underlined. Highlighted. And she is completely accurate to do so. And our scripture readings today drive home this point even more. Last week, we heard James, the brother of our Lord, tell of how much damage we can do by using our words. The tongue is a fire, he says, a world of unrighteousness. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And last week, as I said repeatedly, I am not perfect in the use of my words. And no matter how great a length a person will go to try to avoid giving offense, you will never speak perfectly, because you'll never be able to speak the perfect balance of law and gospel to every person God places in your path. The same is true of what we hear this week from James. Regardless of how hard we try, there is jealousy and selfish ambition in our hearts. This is why there are quarrels and fights, even among the people of God. Your passions, the desires of your heart, the coveting of what others have, friendship with the world, all of these things separate us from God. James goes so far as to say that anyone who wishes to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God. And there is only one solution to this. And we hear it in Jesus' words from our gospel reading. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Just like I said last week, we are not perfect. We are made complete in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of the struggles, the quarrels, the fights, the unholy passions, desiring that which does not belong to us, friendship with the world, all of these burdens of sin and guilt have been carried to the cross already. Christ died for you. And Christ died for all of those people with whom you quarrel and fight. We are drawn together by the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, the grace of God, which is complete and free. Now we have this covering of all of our sin. However, this does not give us the right to go out and do as we please. As James says, wishing to be a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. Notice that intent is involved. We're all somewhat friendly with the sinful world. I mean, again, since Adam's fall, Jesus is the only person who had the option of being perfect. We all exhibit friendliness with the world around us. No one fulfills the demand of God's law to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. and to love your neighbors, all of your neighbors, the same as you love yourself. I mean, when was the last time you walked into Starbucks or Sprouts and paid for everyone in the same way that you paid for your own? But even if you would empty yourself of all of your possessions, your salvation would still only be found in the grace of God. You would still only be counted among the righteous because the Son of Man, Jesus, was delivered into the hands of men and they killed him. Even if you lived like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, you would only have hope for life after death because the Son of God, 3 days after he was killed, rose from the dead, defeating death for us, something we could not do on our own. So we look at where we are in relation to God, and we rejoice that we live under this grace. So if God's grace is upon me, even though I continue to sin, why not just have the best of both worlds? I can do what I want during the week, and then I can come and seek and receive God's grace, hear his absolution, partake of the body and blood of the Son of God, broken and shed for my sin. And then I can go back out, do what I want to do the rest of the week, come back here and get forgiveness all over again. Well, that's not the way it works. Besides, we are forgiven, even when we are out and about during the week. We live under the grace of our baptism. But to go out and willfully adjoin ourselves to this world, knowing that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, this is what James is speaking against. The seeking and receiving of God's grace, it is a necessary part of life. It's why we come back week after week to hear those words of absolution, that in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And to receive the forgiveness, life, and salvation that we are promised in the flesh and blood of Christ our Lord as we receive it under the form of bread and wine. But as we heard James say 2 weeks ago, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. As we hear him say today, if you wish to be a friend to the world, you've made God your enemy. Now, he does not desire to be our enemy. We are his children. He loves you. He calls you by name. As James says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. He desires to keep what is rightfully his. You are his child. He wants to be gracious towards you. He is gracious towards you, even when you don't want him to be. That's his nature. Therefore, as a loving child, James says, submit yourselves to his authority, to his will. Have the desire to do the will of God, even though you're not going to do this perfectly, not even close. Intend to do it. Strive to do it. Resist the devil, as James says. Do not desire to be friends with the world. James says, your passions are at war within you. Well, if there is no fight against those passions and unholy desires, then the war is over. That's what James means when he says faith without works is a dead faith. Strive to do the will of God. Greet each day with the intention to be his witness to those whom God has placed in your path. As St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, let your gentleness be evident to all. This year in confirmation class, we're beginning with baptism. And in his catechism, Luther says, he asks the question, what does such baptizing with water indicate? And he answers, it indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That is our life in Christ summed up. It is a continual cycle of coming before our Lord, confessing our sin by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault, and knowing that as a baptized child of God, I am clean and righteous and pure in His sight. Now I look in the mirror and I know better, because I do see my sin. But He has chosen not to. That is forgiveness. That is the gospel. And in thanks for what Christ has done, being delivered into the hands of men, being killed as the final sacrifice on the altar of the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, so that God can look at me and you and see nothing but the righteousness of His Son. And then 3 days later, rising from the dead, having done all of this for us, we humbly come before our Lord and we strive to give thanks. As incomplete and shallow as our thankfulness is for all that He has done, He still willingly claims each of you as His child, and He gladly calls you by name. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.